lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic, a podcast.
James Shaw, 2025, a year that was.
Yeah, definitely was. Christmas special. How good is this? We're very festive again in our Christmas sweaters.
I can't believe we did this 12 months ago and how quick it's gone. It's,
bro.
Yeah, another momentous year in the Motorsport Publica family.
Yep.
This is a celebration show for all our fans and everyone at home has had a great great year like us with us. So we really appreciate you all. We're going to go over our top moments.
Yeah, we've got bold predictions, our motorsport Christmas wish.
Yes, and then the highly anticipated number one ticket holder will be announced tonight. So stay in tune for that.
Yeah, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting, mate. Thank you for an amazing year. And yeah, it was a momentous year and for us, big growth year. So bigger and better things for 2026, and I just can't wait for it. It's just so exciting, isn't it?
Cannot wait. And it couldn't be possible without motorheaven.com.au. They've been with us basically from the start of the pod for a long time. So shout out to motorheaven.com.au. They are the best in the business. We love them. And they've been amazing to us all year. So give them some love if you're in Australia or New Zealand. You can get some of their best quality product stuff there. They're coming up all over my socials actually at the moment.
Fantastic. Yeah, and all the love from YouTube, and if you can like, subscribe, that'd be awesome. And then jump on our Patreon for anything extra. We've got a couple of really cool things organized for the off season as well. So
we've got early access to a lot of stuff as well on our Patreon.
Yes. So what does it cost, James? $7 a month or something? It's less than a cup of coffee a week, so help us would be really appreciated as well. So
yeah, and if you quit smoking, it's free plus some.
It's actually like three cigarettes.
Yeah, it's like three. When I used to sell bikes, you probably did this trick as well. It's like, the bike costs $60 a week, but if you like $40 a week, but if you quit smoking, you've literally got a free motorcycle, and I've just improved your health. How can you not buy this motorcycle? That line worked all the time.
That's it. Let's start tonight with some shout outs, James, because I think it's appropriate.
Okay.
Let's talk about this first, and then we'll jump into our favorite moments of the year. So, guys, we've loved all the social media stuff, all the messages. We may not get back to everyone, but we love it. Like, it is the backbone of our podcast, is obviously the social aspect of it, the family of Motorsport Republica. That's what we're trying to build. So, just to name a few names, James and I got our shout-outs. So, It's Called Papa, the reigning number one ticket holder. Thank you for all your help all year. With all your predictions, we'll make that bigger and greater next year as well. So we appreciate that, all that. Desmo 1299, Mr. Dave Superbike Shaw, thank you for all your input. A big fan of the pod, Joe Achilles, is a big YouTuber, James.
Yeah,
big YouTuber. A lot of people follow him and follow us. So shout out to him. He's been a great source of information throughout the year. Thrill House, C Mac 993, thank you. Sepsi, of course, Heart_Malbon, Keegan 87, Sean Cody, Mitch Bunting, Sam Sal 21, my personal favorite, Jared Masden, Steve Bradshaw, Layfield, Matty Stevens, That Shady Life, Brayden Bootleg, J9 White 99, Derek Hall, and Bay Bikes, just to name a few.
I love it. Great list. Jamesy 995, thank you. Mitch Fagan, Braden Hardcastle, one of the OGs. Caleb Russell, Jono.87, Tom McLennan, I think it was a local Dymo boy.
Darren
Bridgie
Matt.
Gould, D Silver 87S. Jack Giles, again, one of the locals. Not locals, one of the OGs, I should say. And A Cooper 1986. As you said, if we've missed anyone.
You even stuck the missus in there.
Yeah, no, I did.
Yeah, had to.
She likes every single reel.
Did you have a gun to the back of your head?
Nah, she always does.
We'll miss one big name, James. Big name. And you're going to announce it.
Bandana Man.
No, that is one big name. Bigger name. I want you to tell me who is the 2025 number one ticket holder for Motorsport Republica.
Oh, we're doing it this early.
We are.
Now, our number one, 2025 number one ticket holder has to go to Willie Nelson.
Yes. Thank you, Willie. You've been amazing support all year. He's even sent us merchandise, James.
Yeah.
And we said we can be bribed.
Yeah, that's true.
Were bribed.
Yeah.
We were bribed. But no, he's fantastic. He's a really nice guy. The wittiest man on Instagram. I'm going to give him the the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for your support. You've been amazing this year. So
yeah,
year two, Willie Nels. Thank you for all your support.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I've met him a couple of times. We even watched the World Superbike race with Willie Nels. We just ran into him.
What a treat for him.
But really, really, really good fella. He supports us heaps on Patreon as well. So yeah, you got to get around him.
Yes, yes. And yeah, being supportive on Patreon does get you up the list.
But we really appreciate all the listeners, honestly. It's it means a lot. When we first started this, we had no idea like what it would grow to. And like, it's pretty funny that people just listen to us waffle on.
Yes.
About nothing and something at the same time.
Pub talk.
Yeah, it's a bit of pub talk, isn't
it? People want that, though. That's our fan base, and that's what we like. So we get technical sometimes, James, but no, we're pretty cruisy.
We are pretty cruisy. And I go back and listen to all of our episodes for all the clips and everything, and it's very funny going back and listening to what we do. And it's funny, like, you go back to episode one and episode like 100 and whatever, it's terrible. Terrible. I think you were listening to some of them today, you're going back and it's fucking shocking.
Yeah, episode 22 I watched today, and yeah, talk about waffling on a pub talk.
Yeah,
we used to sit around for an hour and a half and waffle, but it's grown from there. Hopefully we've improved a little bit.
Yeah, but we really appreciate all the listeners, and there's some names in there that have been, honestly, they've been listening for almost 2 years, yeah. I reckon.
Like, and if we've missed anyone, please, please reach out to us if we have missed you. If you think you're deserving of the shout out, we've forgotten about you, but we'll give you a little personal one.
And feel free to always message us. Obviously, we can't get back to everyone, or we just don't see it, but still message back. Because sometimes, like, I'll see a message request and you know, someone might have sent like two things in from a year ago, and then we'll still reply to it when we see it. So we really appreciate all of it. It's very humbling.
Yeah, very humbling. And yeah, not more humbling than Phillip Island this year, when we had, you know, so many people coming.
Wasn't
up,
that crazy?
Coming up to us, and it was pretty incredible. So we really appreciate it, guys.
That was crazy, man. Far
just
out.
Just two lads having a go.
Yeah, that's all we were doing, man. Fuck, just drinking beers and talking shit. And it was really nice meeting everyone at Phillip Island, though.
Yeah, it was. Awesome. May there be many more.
Yep. All right, T-Shavs, I want to know, I've got, actually, this is, I'm going to start with this one. It's highlight of the year for each other. So it's what I remember about you is how I've written this one down. And it's beers in the pool in Buriam,
yep,
and the Sepang track walk for me.
Yes.
So
yes.
Beers in the pool was easily probably my favorite highlight of the year, as in we'd be at the track. It was like 40 degrees all day, running around, first international race, and then getting a Gojek, whatever they are in Thailand, getting a little Grab scooter. That's it, Grab scooter. And then it was only like a 2-minute scooter ride to our hotel. Straight into the pool and then just sink about, I don't know, 10 changs. The Thai just didn't understand how to obviously keep getting the changs back to the pool. So
yeah, we've spoken about that a few times.
Yeah.
They don't know,
hospitality.
If we're in America, God, it would have been like, they would shut it down at 3 and ask them for a tip, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But that also kind of made it all funny because like in Buriam, if no one's been there, it's 8 hours from Bangkok or something, like a drive. You're in the middle of nowhere and no one speaks English.
Yeah.
Like, we were playing pool, speaking to those two girls, and they were like yak farmers. Remember?
Mm. I didn't talk to any girls.
that a missus has got you in the back of the head. Well, I was definitely talking to them. And Danby scared them off, but they were just yak farmers. Yeah. And they were very
interesting. What's a yak? What's a yak?
It's like a cow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a big
vegetable.
Cow.
I thought it was a vegetable.
So imagine that. You were talking to them. Oh, allegedly talking to them. And you just think about their vegetables the whole time. They're fucking, big cows or some shit.
That's funny.
What about you?
Yeah, look, I have to admit, it's just pinpoint little moments. Like, we fly into Buriam and we have 4 hours sleep and we get to the airport the next day and we jump on this little bloody jet from Bangkok to Buriam and we hop off, you and me, and we're walking down the stairs and it was fucking hot and we're walking towards the Buriam airport and then Adrian's taking photos of us in front of the sign. I'm like, fuck, how cool is this? You know, like, we're in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, 24 hours after being in Melbourne, just working at our jobs, you know, and then just running amok in the back of the pits and just going and talking to people and feeling so out of place in the media center is just the most hilarious thing ever. Yeah. Like, why the fuck are we here?
Yeah.
But just those little moments, man. I love walking in and walking out of places with you when we're at the track and stuff. It's just, we're a team. And it's so much fun. So.
It was, wild. I was a bit worried for you a little bit through those days because it was so hot, but you did well.
Yeah. It was, we were in the, there's a funny story. We're in the Pramac on the Sunday morning. We're in the Pramac, in their garage, and one of the team personnel are showing us through the bike, but I'm cooked. Like, it's hot in the garage. I've had like 3 hours sleep. I'm hungover. I'm dehydrated. I'm everything you could possibly be. And they're talking about ride height devices, and I'm just looking at James, and I'm fucking covered in sweat. And I'm going, oh god. And James is like, film it. So I got my phone. I'm like, no, he's passing out. Oh god. But like, you pinch yourself.
Yeah.
We're getting shown around a MotoGP bike.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those funny moments in my life. I'm like, I did not want to be there. But then you look back and like, how cool is that?
Yeah. That was gold.
Yeah.
It's I remember that. It's actually on the vlog that we did, because I filmed a bit of you like in that pits, and like you were like a tall building swaying about to collapse. It's exactly what you were. Yeah, it was good, man. Mm. I think Buriam takes the cake, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I wish we could go in a couple of months' time. But anyway, there's always the following year, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly right. Funniest moment of the year for you, Tom?
So this is such a random one. It just sticks in my head. We're at the Italian restaurant, Phillip Island. Not the Pino's, the other one. And Greg,
I don't even remember being... Oh, yeah.
Greg Russ is in the distance. And like, we know Rusty from a little kid's. And Greg Russ gets up and he looks at James and he waves at you. And you're like, and I'm like, who's that? He goes, Greg Russ. I'm like, what? I'm like, do you know him? Nah.
Fake like, it till you make it,
you
bro.
You had to be in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm fogging up because the bloody hot things. But fake it till you make it. We had a good chat to him. What a nice guy.
Yeah, he came up, shook our hand.
I just laugh every time I think of that story for some stupid reason.
And if you're an international, you don't know who Greg Rust is. He is like the institution of motorsport commentary in Australia. He would have done the F1 in Australia for Channel 10.
He did.
Every now and then. Yep. V8 supercars, huge.
Yep.
Would have done MotoGP stuff as well. Like, institution, voice of a lot of motorsport for a long time. And he's like, I love the podcast, love what you guys do. And like, Tom and I were just like, that was actually, to be fair, because we grew up watching him, was almost more like a more pinch yourself moment of almost anyone I've ever met.
I know, it was the strangest moment that, you know, like, he recognized us.
That's the weird thing.
As silly as it is. I know we're rambling on here, guys at home, but yeah, we're just reflecting on what a year it was.
For me, the funniest moment by far has to be, so it's late Saturday night in Buriam. Don't worry. Late Saturday night in Buriam. I've got a few stories about me that I definitely cannot say on this, but, well, I guess I could, but it doesn't really matter. But we're like driving around, we're lost in Buriam, and all of us boys in a car. We're in a car.
We're in a taxi.
Yeah, we're in a taxi. I don't know how the fuck we found a taxi, but we found a taxi. Anyway, we go to this dead end. And it's like, you got to go like walk up this massive temple to get to this place. And we're like, we're not doing that. It's like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, whatever it is. And Tom sees a dog and he sticks his arm out the window and he's like, oh, hello doggy, trying to bite it. And the dog just goes, hop, and bites down on his hands at like 3 in the morning. And we're like, we're like pissing. Again, it's a moment where you just have to be there.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah! And then you've got your arm out the window. You've got this dog latched onto your hands. And then you shake the dog off. It goes running. And we're like, do you need a tetanus shot? You're like, that would be right.
Yeah.
And he just slept it off and we're good. I don't know how you didn't need anything after
that. Well, the next morning, that was when I woke up rough in the bloody Primark pits. So I might have had something.
Yeah, true. Well, you drank enough alcohol to obviously clear that.
Tom and James here from the Motorsport Republica podcast. Are you planning on going to a MotoGP race next year? We have teamed up with the legends at On Track Experience.
What are they offering, James?
Tom, they are offering European hospitality with MLAV Racing and Jolly Kelso, access to the back of the paddock, garage and service road. Amazing stuff. Every race on the calendar, including official MotoGP test days, full season experience from start to finish, and possibility of joining us on the podcast, Tom.
Wow. Guys, if you want the ultimate experience, we have single race passes and also season passes up for offer. So jump on the On-Track Experience website and find out for yourself. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's true. I don't bounce back like I used to, that's for sure.
Every time, we've been to Southeast Asia, Tom and I, a few times, and you have been in the wars, I think, every time.
Yeah.
But I think we just figured it out when just preparing for this pod. You don't handle extreme hot to extreme cold. And when you I've been into your room in a hotel and it's like 8 degrees and then you walk back out to 40 degrees, it cooks you.
Mm. Yeah, something in that. Definitely.
What's your motorsport Christmas wish? So we get on track now. We get onto a bit more motorsport stuff.
My motorsport wish for 2026 is Hamilton retiring.
Oh, yeah. One last Formula One hurrah for this pod.
Yeah, I think he needs to hang up the boots. That would be my wish. And go out with a little bit of dignity left.
Okay. I like that.
What about you?
Do you think that's going to happen, though?
No, not anymore. I think it's too far gone, but... Oh, sorry, not so too far gone. I think you would have made the decision by now if it was going to happen.
So. Well, why would you hang up the boots now when you're going into new regs? Next year, when you got like one maybe, a small chance of Ferrari and, you know.
Hey, it's a wish.
That's right. I like it. Mm. I like it. For me, my MotoGP motorsport Christmas wish is Marquez re-signs for Honda midway through next year.
There's a lot of talk about that, isn't there?
Yeah.
We're going to have a Chris Vermeulen pod launch soon. If you're a Patreon member, it'll be out now. But that is Chris's prediction without giving too much away.
Yeah, yeah. For 2027, Honda. There's big talk about how much money Honda is throwing at this project, and it looks like they're well on their way to having a competitive bike again. And the new regulations, new tires, really resets everyone. Where Honda now look like they've just got this strong focus back on the Grand Prix project and making a rideable bike for everyone. The worst thing you could do is really put Marquez back in there. But that is my Christmas wishes for Marquez to re-sign with Honda and make Honda great again.
Yeah, it would be amazing to see. I don't know. I think he's in a new family now. I think they're going to find it really hard to let him go.
Do you think there's any chance ever of Marquez going back to Honda? Because look, he'll get a massive paycheck. I know the money won't mean as much, but he will get a massive paycheck out of it.
But in all honesty, in my point of view, I'm going to Honda. They've offered me $12 million a year. We'll pay you 13.
Ducati,
yeah,
and Honda will go, we'll pay you 25.
Yeah, but where does it stop? Like, I just don't see Ducati letting him go.
But I think it's not up to Ducati. I think Marquez's heart is at Honda.
Mm.
It's complete. That's I guess where I'm basing it from. Is yes, I'm sure he loves Ducati and loves being there and being winning, but I still think his heart is at Honda. And it's true, and we will see, but the money is almost arbitrary, really, at the moment for him and his career, because like he's turned down a disgusting amount of money, where it doesn't matter as much. Goes to Gresini and then gets his mojo back for.
I just don't see it as that big of. I know a lot of people see it as such a big fairy tale for him to go back to Honda and win another championship, but like he's been there, done that.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. For me, it's just not. It's not something that I'm like, oh my god, I'd love to see that.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, maybe because I'm a Honda Nuffy, I'd love it. How much would it... Okay, let me ask you this. If Marquez goes back, signs of Honda, Repsol signs again. It's back. Dynasty's back. Would you
have my Rossi t-shirt.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't know if I want to do this question just yet. Maybe we'll wait for that. Who has the most pressure going into the new year, Tom?
The answer to that is Yamaha's head office.
Yeah, I like that.
Big pressure. Like, they've got every other team growing where they've sort of stayed stagnant. They tried the V4. It seems like it hasn't worked yet, but time will tell, obviously. Mm. I mean, they haven't had a good shot at it just yet. But for me, Yamaha is just most under pressure. I think KTM just get on, like, they got a, you know, they've just got a, not an ace up their sleeve, but like, they've got an excuse, obviously, with the Queen.
Yeah.
New owners coming in. They've got excuses. Honda's had podiums. Aprilia looks fast. Ducati's going to be there. So, you know, for me, it's got to be Yamaha. I couldn't think of really a rider that's under pressure for next year. I mean, the obvious is probably Pecco, but I think he'll go to another team if he has to. So,
Look, I agree with Yamaha for sure. I guess another branch off the Yamaha answer you've said is the pressure is on for them to keep Quartararo. You know, they have to build a fast bike, which we all know is not going to happen. And then he's going to be out anyway. So I think to get results is huge, which the pressure is mounting. It's so hard on Yamaha right now. And from what we saw in Valencia, which again can be a bit of a nothing test, like Jack Miller's just come out and said, everything's done for Yamaha. They've proved all the reliability of this new engine. They can go guns blazing, but I still reckon they should have done that fucking halfway through last year.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. They've waited so long for all this stuff.
Yeah, and it's too long now because Quartararo is going to go, fuck this.
And they might finally get something together and then the new regs are out.
That's it.
It doesn't make sense. But they might be playing that smarter than us where they're waiting for that, but, you know.
Yeah, look, true. Next one I had for me was... easily Jorge Martin for me. I'm pretty bullish on Jorge Martin. I understand that, but he has to go out. He's got pressure on him. Like, he's come out and said, I was fit and I was on a Ducati, I would have fought with Mark down to the last race.
I rate that he said that. That's awesome.
I like that he says that. Yeah, I think it's great that he says stuff like that. We need a bit of fucking pizzazz in the media and not be such a robot.
Yeah.
And I love that. I don't think it's correct, but I like that he says it.
Is it...
Bro, do you think that Jorge Martin would have taken it to Valencia if they were both on factory Ducatis?
I don't think Valencia. Maybe Portimao.
Portimao, I reckon second last race. You just got to think...
Kai, you got to remember how fast this guy is, man.
I know, but remember, he only just beat Bags. And look what... Mark made Bagnaia cry.
You got to remember, though, that a 24 bike is like...
But that's on him.
Yeah. Dude, let's be honest. Like, jump on to the next question because I'll relay on to this question.
Second one I had was Pecco Bagnaia.
Oh, sorry.
Because he is under serious pressure with Marc Marquez. What are you most excited for when racing returns?
Martin on an Aprilia.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
So, for me, it's going to be... Yes, he's going to be under pressure, but I don't think anyone's going to expect anything from him for the first half of the season anyway. Like, I think he's going to, even if he finishes 6th, 7th, 8th, he's still getting used to the bike. Halfway through the season, that's when, if he still hasn't got results, that's when the questions really start to come.
I just don't think he has that time. Because by, let's just say...
Maybe not halfway through the season, but I'm talking 5-6 races in.
By 5 rounds in... Quartararo is going to spit the dummy and he's wanting out.
Yeah.
So if you're Aprilia, I think I know your answer, but if you're Aprilia, who are you and you've got Quartararo or Jorge Martin, who are you signing?
Probably still Martin.
Yeah. Okay. I'm easily Fabio Quartararo.
Yeah. I might be like, oh, I don't know. I think, for me,
you're a bit of Stockholm syndrome, Martin.
No. For me, like Quartararo, and this is, take this with a grain of salt, please. Take it with a grain of salt. But he's just like a 1% overrated for me at the moment. Just a little niggling, little overration. I'm just getting it just a little bit. Great at qualifying, yes. And he's outperformed anyone on that fucking bike for a long time. Yeah. I get all that. But dude, like, got to remember, like, Martin qualifying. Fuck, he's the best, you know, the fastest. So, I don't know. I'd still... for me, qualifying really shows the actual brute speed of these guys and how well they can then manipulate a race. Like we said to Chris last week, he said, who's your top four riders? He didn't put Rossi in there.
I know. That's another hot take.
But as a whole, he goes, but Rossi, as a whole complete package rider, he's the best, you know? Yeah. So... Yeah, it's interesting. But going back to your question, I don't know, man. I think we're quick to forget how good Martin is. We're so quick to forget it.
For sure. And I think he's like worthy world champion. Beat Bagnaia fair and square. But Quartararo, I just... If he goes to Aprilia or just say Ducati or whatever and doesn't live up to expectations, I'll agree with what you're saying. But when he was on a good bike, he won a world title. He pushed Marquez in his first few years. And then, you know, as we know, MotoGP has become bike dominant.
Yep.
And he's easily on the worst motorcycle on the grid. So to see... I'd be picking Quartararo. And I think Jorge Martin, I don't know. I still think the resentment's there. We had a very good chat again with Chris about this. I still think there's going to be resentment there. And I think a team with Bezzecchi and Quartararo is one that could challenge for... I still think Quartararo's won a challenge, Marc Marquez, for a championship. Mm. He's just got... He does have that, like... It's just hard to see because we forget, but he does have that C-U-N-T when racing.
I think my team will go to Honda. I do. And I think Quartararo... Actually, we'll talk about this in the bold predictions because I've got something to talk about that later.
I'm not far off what you're saying there. What I'm most excited for when racing returns is actually to see Pecco's mindset and how he can find pace again was mine. Going up against Marc Marquez, you know, there's a lot of rumors already swirling around, but going up against Marc Marquez, the first few races, it's going to paint the picture, isn't it? It really is. And how Pecco is in the media. And, you know, there's going to be races and Grand Prix where he's not as fast. Not going to be fast. And it's how he overcomes that hurdle. Where you look at a prime example is Marc Marquez Assen. Has two massive crashes in practice. Gets two monster crashes. Bike isn't working. He has to somehow ride around this bike. And then bang, wins, I think, the sprint. Wins the main race, has Bezzecchi on his ass. Maybe has to, I think he said, an Assen had tire pressure issues as well. So he even had that with two massive crashes, sore, beaten up, can ride around everything to win. That's what you have to do. And that's, I think, a prime example of a different mentality where Mark's like, fuck this. Like, I'm working around this and I'm going to make this work, even though, like, he had two huge crashes. Where Pecco's mindset, I don't know if it's not like that. What we've seen, it's definitely not like that. Mm. And everything has to be perfect. Where Assen for Marc Marquez was far from perfect. So we're going to see that when we go to Buriram. What's the first few rounds? Like Buriram, fucking Coda.
Brazil
or Argentina or some shit.
Well, Argentina's off now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. So those are going to be the first few rounds where we're going to really figure out where he's at. Because if he's not...
But there's still going to be an excuse there. We're going to go, oh, they're the flyaway rounds, new tracks. You know,
no, I don't think there's an excuse now.
For me, I think we're not gonna jump on his back if he finishes not on the podium for the first five rounds.
Not on the podium for the first five rounds, and you think there won't be pressure on him?
No.
Fuck, that's a huge call, bro. No. Factory Ducati rider.
Oh, and I'm talking about Martin.
No, I'm talking about Pecco.
Oh, sorry, I'm talking about Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 100%. Pecco's on the podium in the first five rounds.
Yeah.
No. He's got to be in the top three. Like, has to be.
Yeah,
that's not anything other than a podium for him is a fail.
Yeah.
Has to be. And I don't... Part of me really sees him improving, definitely. But, dude, there's just so many fast young kids now. I mean, as I said last week, there's 12 guys. There's 15 guys that can finish on the podium. Fucking Raul Fernandez won a race, for fuck's sake.
I know.
Raul Fernandez. And that Aprilia is going to be so good. You know, you got four Aprilias. They're going to be amazing.
Plus all the Ducatis.
Like Pedro Acosta. Then Honda's good.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I know. So like,
call the doctor.
I know. That's so like going up against Mark, a fit and healthy Mark. Like, this is where I'm so interested in seeing Bagnaia's mindset and
comes out and wins a championship.
It'd be amazing.
Imagine all the Italians back up and about. That actually would bring the Italians back in the sport. If that happened,
you know, it doesn't take much for them to flock away again. That's sure, doesn't it? In saying that, though, Mugello had like the fucking highest crowd almost ever, I think, didn't it?
Yeah. I think so. Well, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. They must count some other fucking figures now for some weird
reason. It's like Buriram.
Yeah, dude. Like, because you had people like squashed in the Rossi years, and then they had more people for that year. But anyway, Who knows? Buriam had 250,000 people for the weekend. I did not see. There was not that many people.
Oh, I'm telling you.
There was no that way. How many? Like four grandstands.
Will and Buriam, we were, as it was a Saturday night or the Friday night, whenever it was, we went to that big festival thing. How many people were there?
Oh, I mean, there would have been probably...
Not 200,000 worth.
10,000, I'm saying. There's probably 10,000.
You reckon there's only 10,000?
Yeah, I'm pretty... 10,000 people is a lot of people.
I guess so.
Like, we're all in the one big mosh. There wasn't grandstands and stuff to squash them in.
There's a fucking lot of people. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably around 10, 15.
Well, think of Marvel Stadium, 40,000. I think it wasn't half of Marvel. I reckon it was a quarter.
That's funny how guys always like, that's how we work out.
Bro, watch your World War II documentary and they're like, 700,000 people dead in 3 days seven MCGs. I'm like, fucking seven MCG people. You know, 700,000 people died in like 3 days of World War II in one of the battles. Like, crazy.
Which battle?
Stalingrad, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah. You would have watched a few docos on that. Oh, yeah. You would know everything about that now.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't want to say this one either. Your personal MVP of the year doesn't necessarily have to be a champion, Tom.
Massimo Rivola.
I like that answer.
He just faced so much stuff through that year. Martin de Honda, he didn't let him go. He built the bike. Bez put him front and center, you know, and he was probably the star of the second half of the season. Raul Fernandez wins a race on the Trackhouse team. Dude, praise, massive praise.
Yeah.
You know, the budget would be small, the heart would be big.
Yeah.
Massimo Rivola.
Yeah.
You're my MVP.
Love that. Yeah, good. And he moved heaven and earth. Moved heaven and earth to get Jorge Martin. Didn't help him too much.
No, it didn't. But look.
I mean, but that's what you got to do. You can't.
You do that deal every day. There's no regrets. You got to do that deal. And it wasn't his fault. He sent him to the moon in testing. And then the crash in Qatar, the motocross accident. I mean, the triple threat, man.
Triple threat, yeah. For me, my MVP, it has to be Mark. It just has to be. Like, coming back from that injury, the emotions of winning that championship, you know, 5 years out of it, you know, all everything that we saw when he was with Honda, how bad it was, all the dark days, how many times he tried to come back, came back too quickly, all the surgeries, and I just thought, just the mental capacity to come back, and then to, you know, be on the brink of retiring, and then they go, fuck it, I'm going to go to Cressini, take a massive pay cut, take a chance, put your ego aside to go to this like family run team, get third in the championship, and then to like be like, fuck it, we're going balls to the wall, and then dominate a season like he did. Just didn't even give anyone a lick at it.
No.
Mentally destroyed his teammate, basically moved all of Ducati just to be around him. They've got now releasing their own Marquez Ducatis, World Championship Ducatis. He's bigger than ever, more fans than ever. Now he walks into his pit box. Bagnaia's all lonely by himself, and Gigi and Davide all around him, loving him. He's got the Ducati flag. He's now Mr. Ducati. I know the Italians won't like this, but that's true. I think he is, it has to be for me, Marquez. Just the comeback of... all comebacks, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And sometimes I feel like we don't talk about it enough. We probably have talked about it a lot, but the past few shows, we're like glazed over it almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's a feel-good story for 2025 in all of motorsport, I would say.
All of motorsport. It's got to be the best and biggest motorsport comeback of all time.
It's one of. We did ask that question. There was a few ripper ones throughout the history, but...
motorsport? Who's...
motorsport, definitely. I mean, like, there's...
Mick Doohan, Niki Lauda.
Niki Lauda, yeah.
Are the two that I can think of.
Yeah. You know. No, definitely, 100%. Like, the guy was, you know, the guy was down and out.
Bro,
down
he
and out
was
in the worst
done.
Team, you know.
He was absolutely done. So, I don't know, man. Like, that is as good as you can... Oh, Cody's got sunglasses on. He's just rolling into the studio now. Fuck. What a cool guy. AirPods, Ralph Lauren. Fuck, wow. I know. I like it. Tom, this is a funny one. Helmet, livery, or bike/car of the year?
Who cares? Who cares?
Oh, that's
don't
funny.
Need that one. Don't care.
Yeah.
What's yours, James?
Didn't even have any?
Nah.
For me, my favorite helmet is actually Jorge Martin's
autism.
Like regular
autism.
Helmet. Yeah, like the regular helmet. Okay. I liked. Just his,
we didn't see it.
We didn't see it much. Maybe that's why I liked that. The World Championship colours. I like that. My favourite liveries were two Golf Trackhouse, obviously beautiful, and Yamaha's R7 Noriyuki Haga livery. It was the white and red. Do you remember that at all? In Assen.
Yeah, no, I do. Red. Yeah. It didn't take much notice of it.
That is easily my favourite one. Tom, shall you like best celebration or post race moment of the year?
Oh, it has to be Marquez, doesn't it, in Japan?
Okay.
It's just the most amazing post race celebration, crying, big screen. In recent memory, I have to admit, it's got to be the best that I've seen. It was emotional,
yeah,
to say the least. And as we just touched on, so well deserved and such an amazing season, such an amazing comeback. You know, and to have tears, you know, you just, I love tears on in the sporting field, and you know, it just means everything, you know?
Yeah.
Because as men, we don't cry too much, but when you see that, you
save
know...
yourself, bro. I cry all the time.
You know what he's been through, so...
my answer doesn't have Marquez championship at all. I've got three.
Okay.
First one, I'm going to say easily my favorite was Mark's Messi celebration, Misano, taking the suit off, holding it up in front of the Italian crowds. They're all booing, hissing. Hissing him. I thought that will go down, I think, is the most, that could be going down as the most iconic celebration of MotoGP ever.
Wow.
I don't think there's a big one. Their photos of that is incredible, and just
the hissing.
And in front of the Italian crowd, he's on an Italian motorcycle dominating the world championship. Everyone rode him off at one stage, and they even thought maybe that he might not win in Misano. VR46 were very quick. All the VR46 were very quick through free practice one, and yet he still did the double one, just sealing the championship. Takes his leathers off and just shows everyone, I am the fucking man.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I just love sticking it somewhere.
You know what he does? It's such an arrogant thing to do, but it didn't come off arrogant at all.
Nah. Because it was...
It's a boss move.
It's a boss move because... You gotta remember, he's like hated there. He's hated there. So he's
hissing, James.
Just sticking it back to him. They were hissing like cats.
Love, you didn't show me that one day. Because I still don't know what you mean with the hissing.
Yeah, I'll show you, mate. Don't worry. I'll show you after this. I'll do a reenactment for you. It's not very loud, but imagine if you've got 100,000 people doing it. It's loud. 100,000 people, that's one MCG, mate.
True. On a good day.
Second one has to be scenes from Raul winning in Phillip Island. We were there, but I thought post-race moment, he was so emotional, and it's been so many years of him riding in MotoGP to see, like, the tears, hugging the trophy when he was on the podium with Davide Brivio. Just amazing to see.
Well, dude, we spoke to him 2 days before that. That's the most amazing thing of that weekend. And we had a podcast with him, which we're trying to get up. But yeah, I mean, the guy's gone from... He changed his life, man. Like, winning a MotoGP race changes your life forever.
I think talking to us changed his life, I'm going to be honest.
Well, it's a good luck charm. We're going to message him and say, mate, good luck charm. Come on. Seriously.
And the last one, of course, we have to say it's Zarco.
Zarco, yeah. I had that as an honorable mention.
Okay, good. Yeah.
One tooth. And
tell me. The tooth.
Well, it's the most amazing scene. The mum, we've said this 1,000 times, the mum's never been to a MotoGP race.
Unbelievable.
The mum's never been to a MotoGP race. The dad rarely comes, okay? He's been to three races.
Who's got the tooth?
Dad, one tooth. Got the one single tooth. Smile on the camera. Got fucking mum and da. The Achtung Ulf in the background.
Le Massier.
Le Massier. The sold out Le Mans circuit. I mean, the biggest crowd of the year. And he goes out and a Frenchman in the rain wins.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah. It was it has to be, you know, the backflip. Rain on the circuit, goes out of the main straight, backflip. Can you ask for much more, James?
Nah,
it's cinema.
And the French just do it so well. They're so patriotic, we fucking love it.
Yeah.
And they get around their riders, they get around their country.
Yes.
They
didn't do much World War II, just touching on that, but they're lucky they had us. But they did very well with the patriotism from there.
Yeah. Well, I think we spoke about it the week of the French Grand Prix. The Le Marseillais, aka Brisbane Lions theme song, is a song for the people. It's not about the government. It's all about the people. Yeah. That's why they get around it. We're like, for us,
Yeah.
You know, like I still get around it, but.
Yeah, it's not emotional though, is it?
It's not like, I actually wouldn't mind looking up what it all means. T-Shavs, most chaotic moment of the season for you?
I didn't have that, sorry, James.
Fuck's sake. can you think of any on the top of your head? You can't, that's fine.
Chaotic moment. Oh, I think Coda probably in the...
Good answer.
Yeah, Coda with Mark and Bagnaia. Yep. That's when... You know, we're talking about when Bagnaia lost the championship? It was there.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, oh, you're running off. I'm going to run off. It was a right decision in the end, but, you know, it was just chaos, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And everyone
chaos.
Knew what was going. Like, the problem with Dorna and the FIM and whoever makes the rules, there's no clear-cut message of what happens in these situations. Nah. So everyone's just wondering what the fuck happens. Like, you're like, oh, well, they're gonna start the race with bikes still on the grid, and then they have to get the bikes off, and they red flagged it. Like, and they've changed the rules like 5 times in the last 5 years about that shit. So everyone was so fucking, who knew what was going on?
The only person that knew was Mark.
I know.
Fucking smart.
Crazy. He must have read the fucking rules at his bedtime stories or something.
I thought an autistic person would do
Wild.
That.
Wild. Yeah.
Wild. Great call. And that was my first answer. It was the Coda bike swap. And that was when I first said to you on this podcast, I'm telling you, that was a weird thing Bagnaia said about Mark, saying, I'm only going to copy him, and just gave him all this credit. And I was like, what the fuck? You're fighting for a world title with him. Now, I've used this so many times, but Lorenzo would never have said that about Rossi. Rossi would never have said that about Lorenzo. Like, no fucking chance. Most chaotic moment as well, all of Le Mans. The whole race was chaos.
Yeah.
Everyone going down. Jack Miller could have won that race. Zarco winning, just all the bike swaps. You know, if Marquez could catch... Right, you know, remember Marquez... thinking he could catch Zarco and he couldn't, just everyone going down. I think Bags might have crashed.
Yep.
And that was like probably his first crash maybe the season just then before it all unraveled.
Because you remember that chaos in Coda, he won the race.
I know.
Bags won the race. And Mark crashed. You know?
Yeah, then that's right. And there was extra chaos to it there for sure. I didn't even think about that. It was a great call. And just an honorable mention was... Pecco's, it's when you know we've got something really good to talk about. We touch each other. Pecco's engine smoking in Japan.
Yeah, that was strange, wasn't it?
It was very, made no sense. And then Mark was behind him about to win the title, and it was like, is he going to drop oil? Yeah. Then they're both going to go off. Is Pecco finally going to win a race? And his bike blows up. You know, Sepsi's in our ear saying it's a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah.
And in saying that, we had a podcast with there's strong, there's a, I'm going on a fucking ADHD weave here, but there's a former world champion, very notable, that thinks there's a conspiracy in that factory Ducati.
They slowed down Bagnaia. Yeah. We got a very credible source have told us that.
Yeah. And we don't.
We didn't get it off camera. We should have got the answer off camera, shouldn't we?
Yeah, nah.
Nah. We like the mystery, though.
I wonder who it is, though.
It's paying $1 a one. It's Italian origin.
Yeah, it is.
But how many Italian world champions have there been?
Agostini?
It doesn't count. Moto2 versus MotoGP back then. Valentino Rossi.
Pecco Bagnaia. There has to be more than that. Why are we... That's it, isn't it? What, am I going crazy right now? Did we have this? Right now, we have it. And then we just forget like 3 people and then everyone comes after us. Curdy, are you able to just list us, please, how many Italian MotoGP /500cc world champions there have been? Because, yeah, the main
MotoGP,
one,
not Moto2.
Don't confuse the man. Giacomo Agostini wouldn't even... It'd be, what's he, like a 750 or some shit back then?
No, he was on a 999 and they're all in fucking 444s. Why is that so funny? Because the Ducati actually is a 999, James.
He was on an MV Agusta.
He was.
Go. Simoncelli? It's 250s.
Max Biaggi on 250s.
That's 1957. Who was that, sorry?
Libero.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Anyone from like past 1980?
When were they alive?
1980.
Agostini. And then next one's Rossi.
Rossi's there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9.
Nah, you're
going way back.
Nah, okay. That's cool.
We're right this time.
We're right. Thank you, Curdy.
Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors?
Mate, the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au, T-Shabs. They've been with us from the start. The absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shabs. So you can spend anything at motoheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope, it's Australia's largest range online, and we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business, and it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans. What's my next question for you, Tom? I don't want to say that one. Okay.
The very last one.
Yeah, let's do that one. There's two more after that. One thing motorsport absolutely needs in 2026, Tom Shavulak, / MotoGP, I guess.
A championship battle going down to the line.
Yeah.
I think it's... if we get another runaway Marquez championship, it'll affect things going into 27. If we have a really good 2021 F1 style championship, the sport is just bubbling at the surface and will explode in 27. My opinion.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I agree. I think fucking every year it needs it. Mm. And we had this conversation maybe when Marquez wrapped up the championship and was or was about to wrap up the championship. And we said, do numbers dwindle when someone wins a title four rounds early? And I was like, fuck no. If you're a fucking fan, you're going to watch it. And we're going to watch it. And you're on the point of, nah, it's why would you watch it?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like, for us, of course, we're going to watch it. And for our diehard fans, I think they're going to watch it. But I think you could tell that there wasn't as many people talking about it or watching it and just didn't really care once that big prize is sewn up.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I think is... like, we were in Malaysia, and as much as we said, oh, it doesn't affect things that Marquez is not there, it did.
Fuck yeah, it did. Yeah, because that's right. We were in Malaysia and Phillip Island, obviously.
Yeah. And they, yeah, it did affect things. It wasn't as exciting. You know, there wasn't that Marquez effect that you just, the aura around him. Like, there really is, you know.
Yeah.
So, and on the track, both on track and off track, there's just aura. Like, you just, you know, you're in complete, like, you're in the bloody presence of this guy who's the best we've ever seen, you know.
Mm.
Arguably.
I'm going to ask you a question that's completely off cuff. I'm going to put you on...
12 inches.
Fucking in your dreams, buddy. I've seen it plenty. That's how Curdy. Big his gaping asshole is. Oh, Jesus.
PG, please, Curtis.
It's funny because no one can hear you right now, Curdy, unfortunately. I don't know if I've asked you this question on the pod. And it'll be you're going to have a very interesting answer. And I want to know. Who is your Mount Rushmore of MotoGP riders personally for you?
Yeah. Rossi, Marc Marquez, Stoner, and Mick Doohan.
Okay. Fucking, that's a strong list.
And I think that would be like 85% of the population in the world.
It's a strong list.
Casey Stoner for me has grown, what's the word, James?
Exponentially.
Since we've started this podcast.
Yeah.
Because you just got, like, everyone says, raw talent, this was the guy, you know? Mm. This was the guy. Talk about complete package, didn't have it. Didn't have the media skills, didn't have probably the patience to handle all those sort of things, which is totally fine. You're either born with it or you're not. But, man, raw talent, fuck, changed the game. He really did. And what he could have done, you know, with if his head was right, his health was right, he could have been a fucking 10-time world champion, this guy. And what we've really been talking about... we got the whole Martin and Marquez taken from us this year. We really did get a Marquez and Casey Stoner.
Mm.
You know, we never got to see that.
That would have been fucking incredible.
Yeah.
It's we've saw the exact same thing. Valentino Rossi came in 1 year after when he took McDoone's seat.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if you saw them two together. I like that. It's a good Mount Rushmore. It's a fucking solid Mount Rushmore.
Are you the same?
I'm the exact same. I had no idea until you said yours. I was like, yep. You know, how can you go past them?
I think for me, Rossi, He's not as talented as Marquez, but as Chris said, as a complete package of human being for a business, MotoGP as a whole, he's done so much more than anyone else for the sport.
When we watched Phillip Island 2015, bro, watching Rossi, and I honestly really did forget how I might have said it on the pod that one. He was like Roger Federer, yeah. Just so smooth, so precise, and he just made it look so easy. Where yes, Marquez is very fucking brash, but Rossi just on the brakes just made everything look so easy and effortless. And he just kind of forgot. It was almost like he just had some magic about him. Talk about aura, obviously, it was Valentino. But when how he rode was just, I don't know, maybe it was a sign of the times for then. But it was just like, how can you do that? How is it so smooth? How does he make that work? How does he put it into that point, into that spot or that point? How does he turn it in like that? And like him on the brakes was just incredible.
Mm.
And I really forgot about that with Valentino.
Yeah, going into Honda, just clean passes. Yeah.
I know, but just almost like psyched everyone out and just did everything. It was so graceful, such a graceful motorcycle rider where I don't know if you see that as much these days. Maybe everyone is a bit more brash.
Well, I think the issue is the we talk about how hard it is to pass now, how big the bikes are.
Mm.
Probably they're all later on the brakes now. Who knows?
Yeah, that's
aerodynamics.
True. I don't know. It just really took me back with watching him again.
Yeah, like, it's funny. Like back then, if you were behind going into a hard braking corner, you're getting passed.
Yeah,
you're just getting blocked past. But now it's not like that. Like you have to brake so late that you're going to run wide, and then you do the classic bag nine move and he cuts inside really fast.
Yeah.
Like there was none of that Phillip Island, was there?
No.
He didn't see one move like that.
Yeah.
So different. Just block pass. There you go. Bang.
Yeah, it is so different. But I don't know.
And passing in like the hay shed, like.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Dude,
wasn't
if we
it?
See a pass of the hay shed now, we'd be like, oh my God, best size I've ever seen. Yeah,
or like someone's God. Like going into the fence.
Yeah, every single lap, there was a pass in MG. Every single lap.
Yeah.
There was, I mean, not every, but like,
yeah.
Pretty much in that top four, someone was getting passed. That doesn't happen now.
Mm.
So.
It was graceful. Watching him was, I just forget. You do just forget how good he was and how well rounded he was more than anyone just about ever. It's just. Casey, I guess, and like that's what we've learned from this pod. Everyone says Casey Stoner is most talented. Mark just has like supreme talent that he just unmatched. One bold prediction for next year, Tom Shavulak.
Well, I've got four.
You're doing a James Shaw.
So this is what's going to happen, in my opinion, rider swaps.
Oh, I like this.
So Martin is going to sign with Factory Honda.
Mm-hmm.
Quartararo will take his seat at Aprilia.
Mm-hmm.
Bagnaia will take his seat at Yamaha. And Acosta will take Bags' seat at Ducati.
Yeah, I like that last one. I get that.
That's what's going to happen.
That's one big, bold prediction. I like it. Wrap it up. Put a bow on it. Give it to Santa.
I don't know. I just see Bags and Blue, man.
You've said it for a fucking long time now.
I just see it. I see it's like, you know, Rossi's done it. You know, bring him back to the promised land like Rossi did all those years ago. Who knows? I just see it happening.
No, I like it.
Mm.
If you were a betting man, T-Shav's bets, what's that paying?
Couple of hundred. Yeah, probably.
Couple of hundred. I didn't ask you what you were going to put on it.
No, a couple of 200 to 1, I'm saying. I think it's for all those moves to happen, I don't know, 50 to 1 maybe.
I think... all those moves can happen. The biggest one, look, the strong rumors obviously of Costa going to Factory Ducati, but I think they're all pretty plausible. Is just the hard one for me to see is Bagnaia to Yamaha.
Mm.
I can see Bagnaia choosing VR46 for La Familia over Yamaha, just because of La Familia. Like when Bezzecchi chose VR46 over Pramac.
But just depends on what weight is a factory ride versus a non-factory
ride? Well, I think it's huge. You're right. Mm. Like, it is huge. The money's there. Going into 2027, that gives your what you're saying a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Credibility because, you know, Yamaha might have something cooking. We don't know.
Mm.
You know, and I think going into 2027 new regs, you'd want to be on a factory bike. But, like, do you trust Yamaha?
Mm. No.
But you know, no, you don't. But where else is he going?
You know? Yeah, well, that's how I look at it. I'm like thinking to myself, well, I think we all agree that inside information that it costs a Ducati looks certainly nearly done, or if it's not already. For me, where does he go? VR46, non-factory. He can't go to Aprilia. He's not going to go to Honda. He's not going to go to KTM.
Who's going to... If you would rather Quartararo over Bagnaia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
if you're like 100%. Aprilia or Honda or something.
Yeah. 100%. And to age as well. I mean, you're picking... Bags is not old. Trust me, he's not. He's only 26, 27, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's young, but... No, I think that age group below is just that's where the stars are. You know, so Quartararo, Martin.
Who's the second best rider on a grid for you?
Martin.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I just think he is. I've always loved him. I think we forget. Like, going all the way back to Moto3 days. I know it doesn't mean anything qualifying, but bro, that guy in Moto3 that year, I think he had 21 fucking pole positions or something crazy. Mm. I mean, there's just talent. It's just raw talent there. Like,
Quartararo is doing it on a fucking terrible motorcycle now, though. Qualifying.
He is. Didn't have a good sort of last half of the season, though.
Nah, you're right. Yeah, and Yamaha were fucking atrocious.
Yep.
Who's third?
Don't know. Mm. Bezzecchi's always a hard one for me. Like
Costa?
I don't think so. I don't think just yet. I don't think. Bez is hard because, like, do I really see him as a world champion? Not yet, you know?
Nah, I'm with you.
Mm. It's hard. It's Bez, it's Acosta, it's Quartararo. I still rate Quartararo highly. But, yeah, dude, I don't know. Just is a little bit creeping in for me. Just that little bit of overhype for him.
Nah, that's fair.
Just coming in. I was going to say it the other day to Chris when we were having a chat to him. Like, just something's, I don't know. But I might be proved wrong, as usual.
Look, who knows, man? But this is the fun about talking about it.
That's what we do.
If I had to choose, it'd be Mark, Quartararo, Acosta, Martin, Bez, Bagnaia, sorry, then Bez. One bold prediction for me. Fuck, I've been on a weave this podcast. One bold prediction for me is Diego Moreira to have multiple podiums.
Wow,
that's my bold prediction.
Wow, sprint, obviously.
No. Grand Prix, I'm talking.
Main.
Look, it's only two. It's only two, and it could be two wet, crazy races. But that's my bold prediction. I've just something about this kid. There's something about Honda. I think there's going to be multiple podiums that can be had for Diego Moreira. Wow. Very, very fast. Like, I was going to put Toprak in there, but I don't think that's a bold prediction of him. I was going to say not do that well. But I don't think that's a bold prediction. Yeah. He's on a fucking Yamaha.
If you said fucking top rack for two podiums, I'll bloody slap you over the face.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to hot takes, and I'm going to ask you this last question. Tom Shavulak. Alrighty, big dog Tom. What time is it right now?
8:30.
Okay, cool. At Hampart 46.
Hang on, what are you doing? Oh, we're going back to the final question.
Yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to sign off on the final question.
Oh, sorry.
She's fucking done. Listen to this, man.
Cut. final hot takes of the year.
This is the final hot takes of the year.
What a fucking spectacular special this
is. Yeah, because everything else is going to be pre-recorded to like halfway through Jan, I think we're at. We're going to do one pod after this, so I'm asking the time. Hampart 46, Bagnaia gets dropped from factory Ducati in 27 at this rate.
Yes. Yeah, I think we both agree that's more than likely going to happen now.
Maddie Stevens, OG pod fan. Franco to World Superbikes.
Dally, 27. Most likely. Yeah, agreed.
Graveyard.
Yeah. He's digging his hole right now.
Do you reckon Franco will do anything in the World Supers?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll suit him well, actually. Mm. Suit him well. I mean, there's not much competition over there now.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Scott with one small VTEC. Ducati 26 is basically a 24. Mark wins championship by a bigger margin next year.
Yeah, I don't know. This is such a... And I tried to ask Chris this the other day. This is such a weird question now. It's a 25 engine with 24 aero with a less ride height. It's all fucking confusing. And actually, nobody knows what bike's going to roll out of the Sepang test. Nobody knows.
It's a V4 Yamaha all over
again. Yeah, we just don't know. So, no, I'm not taking any predictions on this at the moment because you know my predictions have been terrible with trying to figure out the V4 Yamaha.
That was like a whole... We had like a cult following on that.
Yeah.
T-Shab's V4 predictions.
Yeah, I thought... Oh, anyway, move on.
Reigning number one ticket holder, Willie Nelson.
Yes, Will. Go on.
Furman, top two and 27 with edge grip speed, 850cc character, and Pirelli degradation knowledge. Top two in the championship of 27 is a hot take by Willie Nelson.
Very hot take. He didn't really... he wasn't too good on those tires. Oh, actually, did he run... Was he running Pirelli's?
In Moto2.
For both years?
I think so.
What, did they swap tires halfway? No. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good call.
We don't know what Pirelli's going to bring.
What about Marrera?
Yeah. We just don't know what Pirelli's going to bring. It's going to be similar. Could be fucking so different. We don't know. Sean underscore Van underscore Niekirk 99. Honda will get wins and be the second fastest bike on the grid. Ducati will start the drop off. Like that.
Yeah, okay.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. All roads are leading to that at the moment.
Yeah. If this was this time next year, my bold prediction will be Honda would be the best bike on the grid for 27.
Yep.
But they're
I'm still not there. I'm still not there.
Nah, that's cool.
I'm not there. Not best bike, no way.
For 27. New regs.
No. The changes aren't that fucking... They're not huge. We're not changing the wheel here.
Yeah, I know, but think about Ducati going from 06 to 07.
Yeah, different world now.
Yeah, fucking...
People are getting shot up in fucking Bondi now, James. Man, different world.
Fucked up, that's what that is. Super underscore silly sausage. Pecco won't win a race in 2026.
God, my fucking... Dude, the devil on my shoulder says yes, but the angel says I think he still will.
If he's going to win... Bro, I know. That's actually a fucking good take. Does Pecco Bagnaia win a race fair and square, not code of spec?
Well, I mean, bro, I think so.
Against Mark, Alex, Furman, Bez, just throw Quartararo in there and a couple fucking Hondas, and Pedro Acosta.
But the guy was so fucking retarded last year or this year that he comes in and just dominates Motegi. He'll do that again.
Yeah, he'll do that again. Yeah.
He'll do that again somewhere. He'll be in fucking Balaton Park or something, but he'll just have a really good weekend and then drop off. With the flies. He's the pro, the flies. They didn't tell him. When they were playing the soccer, they didn't tell him about the flies. Fucking dogs.
Bro, Pecco Bagnaia hurts my head, man. Russ Goobs. Fave moment of the year was watching Alex Marquez win at Jerez. The emotion was amazing to see. I fucking like that.
We forgot about that.
Yeah.
It was emotional. First win.
Yep.
Yeah.
In front of all those big home fans on the hill. Incredible. That was
for some reason, I was disappointed with that because I really wanted to see Mark win. But
bro, how's your mindset changed? I know. That was crazy. He crashed in that.
He did.
That was his last big mistake, I think.
Well, that was him and Bags fighting for it, wasn't it? That was the year before. What am I saying? Yeah, he did crash it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got some bad memories of that joint. He crashed on the back part on the left-hander.
The left-handers of all, man.
Yeah.
I know. That was his last big mistake. I said, and then he kind of went on the run from there. Like, I think it was Silverstone, maybe, or Le Mans, Silverstone, then went on the run. Frosty.heats. Toprak will be fast as fuck and will win a race before Acosta. You're fucking crazy.
Crazy.
Maybe you're Turkish. Got a bit of Turkish bias. I don't know. But I've said it so many times. I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I don't see Toprak doing anything. Underscore Derek Hall. Rossi should have just retired with some dignity rather than run his shit ass VR46 team. I had to throw one of them in.
Nah,
we have so many of them.
That's
funny.
That's rough.
It's very rough. I don't agree. One of the favorite moments for Kyle underscore man 3, it has to be Mark running off the grid at Coda. LMFAO, shit was comedy. Yeah, I love that.
It's like points in the season you remember, and that was just such a clear memory.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
When we had both of that down, where I thought I was like, oh, I don't know if Tom's gonna have this one down, but
fuck. Well, I didn't have it down.
Well, you didn't have the fucking question down. Preparation's key, mate. Preparation's key.
I did a fucking DB on that one. Sorry about that.
No one will understand that. Harris on RK. Maverick world champion or at least one win for 2026. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I like that. Not world champion, but a win.
Sorry, but how's the
Nicky, Nicky Hayden. Nicky Hayden, one win, 06. Come on, world champ.
Are you really a world champion or are you going to win one race?
Dude, but don't sleep on Maverick for next year. Don't sleep on him. I'm telling you. Do not. He'll come out and win a race next year.
Well, we will need
him. I'm guaranteeing that, James.
Guarantee. This is your guarantee.
That's my guarantee. Vinales will win a race next year.
Fucking hell, I'm going to look back at this. Chris is special. Fucking yeah. Clip that, you dog. I hope he does, but bro, on a Tech 3 KDM, soon to be CF Moto.
We'll see.
Mr. Underscore Biff. Aprilia will underwhelm in 2026, Tom. They've had promising seasons before and then been nowhere. Have they had promising seasons before?
Well, the thing is with Aprilia, they were just always there or thereabouts. That's the thing. They've never sort of come up to the promised land of being a winning bike every round, which I think they are now.
There or thereabouts for the past few years with Mav and Aleish. Before that, they were just fucking, they had like Scott Redding on and yeah. Bautista. They had the Aprilia Cube of Colin Edwards that almost baked him back in the early MotoGP days. So
hot bike or something?
Caught on fire, jump off it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, like, this is last year. For me, last year was their first year of having a proper shot, which disappeared in the Sepang test. Mm-hmm. Last one, underscore Samuel Sartori. Every manufacturer will somehow win a race next season. I don't know how, but Yamaha still will.
Wow.
I like that. I don't think Yamaha's going to win a race. If they do, it'll be some crazy wet race like I was talking about with Diego Moreira on a Honda, but that'd be great. That's what the sport needs, is every manufacturer winning.
When is the last time that's happened?
Every manufacturer winning.
Curtis.
Bro, I would love to say like 2016, but then KDM was in there and I think everyone won but KDM.
Mm.
I think Suzuki, Yamaha, Ducati and Honda would have won, definitely. But I can't think of... Maybe like... I was going to say like 500cc days where it was like Honda and Yamaha, but there was still like Kajiva and shit in there that might not have won. Are you Googling it?
Mm. 2020.
KDM. Oh, KDM?
Ducati, Honda, KDM, Aprilia, Suzuki, Yamaha.
Aprilia won in 2020? No, they didn't. No way they did. They didn't win until fucking Aleix won.
Mm.
They're telling fibs, mate. Google's telling fibs. I don't know. If anyone knows, messages. Tom Shavulak, final word on the year in motorsport. One sentence, please.
One sentence, James. A season, a topsy-turvy season, full of drama, not necessarily on the racetrack.
I like that. I like that a lot. For me, a year of domination, only prolonging the changing of the guard.
Very well said.
Mm.
Very well said.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Shavulak, that is the Christmas special done for another year.
Yes.
2025 done.
Yes, thank you, James. What an amazing year.
Thank you. Thank you for all the listeners again. We really appreciate every single message, comment, like, yep. Subscribe.
It won't be the last you'll see of us this year, no. But this is our final pod we are recording this year.
Yeah, so. We've got one more coming out for the rest of the year, and then we've got a heap, Tom. We've got a heap of fucking shit coming out of January and Feb. Quite a few special guests.
Yes.
One we haven't even spoken about on this pod, but we've already recorded, which is amazing. One of the best ones we've done in a long time. Prominence MotoGP figure. Prominence. You, every single person listening to this will know exactly who this person is,
if
you're English speaking.
Yep.
So there's a bit of hype for you. And then we've got a few special episodes coming up as well.
We do some fun stuff. Yeah.
Some fun stuff that people will definitely get around. But Tom, thank you for 2025. Yes. Thanks to all listeners and watchers. We appreciate you all. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all you and all your family.
Yeah. Be safe.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
See you guys.